Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Which are packing. Happy packing. And now the question is, we've got some shilas to get through. We have some shilas to get through regarding holidays. And we're just going to go straight into it. And obviously the shayla number one is when it comes to dinner time, we need to have some bread in us. Some of us need to have some, unless you're on a special diet. But a lot of us like to wash and have some sort of bread. And the question is, you know, when you're at home, it's very easy to wash. You take an egg of acid out. But when you're out and about, what is the practical way to wash? So if you have a nice big bottle of water and you pour it into a cup, you bring your keli, you take with a nice egg of acid cup and you wash your hands, that's the best way forward. Sometimes you're not equipped with an egg of acid cup. Is there a second best with how you wash your hands? What is the best way to deal with it? Can you just say, I haven't got water? You should know it's very, very simple, Eitah, is that you can take a normal bottle of water, you can take an old Coca-Cola bottle, fill out with water, and you can actually pour directly from the bottle over onto your hands. The poskim in Kuf Samach Beis discuss that you can't use a bottle which the lid is very, very, very narrow, in a way that's mutaftuf, drop. But where you have a nice stream, yes, if you do a big shot or blob out, but if you do it normally and gently over your hands, it comes out quite b'shefa, maybe not nowhere near as much as a regular cup, but enough, la pi'alocha, is absolutely fine to use a bottle. And some people say that if you're stuck without a bottle, then really nothing's stopping you to go to the nearest service station, to go to the nearest shop, Tesco, and buy yourself a bottle. It might cost you a lot of money for a bottle of water, £1.50, £2.50 for a bottle of water, but it's very possible that it makes sense to spend money on it. It's a good investment, right? Because it's about the only thing the Shulchan Aruch mentions that it's a skula for parnosa. Very many of these skulas that we hear, skula for parnosa this, skula for parnosa that, it doesn't make its way to Shulchan Aruch. In fact, there's not many at all. Shulchan Aruch over here says that if a person washes his hands for the suda, b'shefa, that is a skula for parnosa. It's an interesting thing that Shulchan Aruch quotes Omar of Chizda, that you get a lot of money when you wash your hands nicely. It's an interesting concept that's worth spending money on buying another bottle. So that is how you would be able to be into the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim, which is a very practical way of doing it.
Also says that we're on Kalam Zalzal.
Oh, Kalam Zalzal. Exactly, yeah. You choose which one. Next, China, we're just going to go through one after the next because there's so much to get through. We all know, I think I'm right to say that by now it's a bit too late to discuss the Shaila. Sorry? Yeah. It's a bit too late to discuss the Shaila regarding booking your holiday in an area which is not for our minyan. I'm assuming that's already done and dusted. But we do know that it's a lot of posts can say that it's not prepared to find a holiday house without not near minyan. But you should know Rav Shlomo Zalman Eibach, he says that if a person doing it for grius, for his health, so then it's okay. Now obviously we have to stretch this idea of wanting a bit of peace from everyone to some sort of link of health, if there is. You'll find that's not our discussion today, that's a separate saga in itself. I just want to point out something quite interesting. That if you do happen to have a minion nearby, let's say you find out from, anyway, you find that word of mouth, social media, you know that there's a minion, 10-minute drive, 15-minute drive, is there a chiv to go to the minyan? Shulchan Aruch that the shtagel, a person should try and go to a minyan, and the person say it means it's a chiv. Up to how far do you have to go? 18-minute walk. And the person debate what happens if it's much further than 18 minutes walk, but your car, if you get into your car and drive 18 minutes, you can get, you can 15 minutes away is a lot more than it, if it'll take you 18 minutes to walk, a lot more. And the question is, are you mechuyav to drive 15 minutes up to 18 minutes? Is it the time or is it the... Or is it the distance? So the poskim want to say, Kama'ul poskim want to say, Rishon Shnei's got shuv on this, the Pashas of Bialochin in Kuf Samach Gimel, that it's to do with the effort, the time it takes on 18 minutes, and therefore if you have access to the car, the Chayyid the Shubhi is Indian to go and drive up to 18 minutes then back. And although Rishon Shnei points out, it's going to cost you money. I know petrol has gone down a little bit, but it's still quite a lot. 18 minutes, 17 and a half minutes in the car. If Waze tells you it takes 17 minutes to get to there, there's still a chiyuv to go, hagam, it's going to cost you a little bit on petrol, and Mishnah Shlemach explains this, maybe it's not an absolute chiyuv, but certainly something which is he's pushing for. Very interesting, there was someone who lived in Lower Broughton, and many years ago, there was no minyan marif. The only later minyan marif was in a shul which is further up further up in Salford. And he wants to know, if he's a machiv to walk, he didn't have a car, so he wants to know, is he a machiv to walk from the lower Broughton all the way to upper Salford. So he checked Google Maps, and Google Maps showed that 19 minutes to get from his house to this shul further up in Salford. And Pashas has no chiyuv to go. There's a mitzvah to push yourself. You always get schas, chapsiyos. There's no shortage on mamorim. But certainly, the dry halacha would say that if it's more than 18 minutes, there's certainly no chiyuv. It's quite an interesting concept. One thing I do want to point out is that if a person does find himself in a place where it's like 12, 15 minutes away from a minyan, that's already not gashmak to miss it. And therefore, for some people, if they know their teva, now, when it comes to holidays, for whatever reason, we're not going down that road. For whatever reason, it comes that they lack, when it comes to holidays, they lack with Tfilah v'Tibul. It could even be better to find a holiday house which is not near a minyan. Why? Because if you're not near a minyan, so there's no chiyuv, right? If let's say the nearest minyan is 25 minutes away, so then shachas mevorah, no chiyuv. If you go there, matoiv. But if you happen to be in a place where it's 17 minutes away drive. Yeah, and it's not kind of easy every time Shachas and Chamar. And don't forget, you have to work with their times. You know, if it's a Hasidish or Litzvah place, you'll have to fit into their times. Marif, Shachris, whatever they're doing. And so it's tricky. You know, 16 minute drive there and back for the Tfilas, it can be tricky. So I'm not saying it should be the final deciding factor regarding Damu finding a place in their minyan without Faket. But it's interesting chap that sometimes you could be better off in a holiday house which is not near minyan, because like that at least you're not overriding your chiyuv.
If you're stuck in traffic, is the clock still ticking or?
If let's say you know there's always traffic, let's say you know.
Just
imagine you have a very new road. Just imagine you have a very new road style in Wales. I don't know if
Wales is called 20 miles an hour.
As far as I know, there's only two roads in the whole UK. That's like a very new road and a very old road. You have to wait so long to get anywhere.
The whole of Wales is 20 miles an hour though.
Exactly. So 20 miles an hour in Wales. So you go down to 15 miles an hour, yeah?
That's true.
Well, sure, we're lucky it's 20 miles an hour. Next year it might be 15 miles an hour. So you've got over here, so if let's say there's a lot of traffic, yeah, it works with time, so time would say that would be okay, that would be okay. So that's regarding the minyan saga. Next is you have Tfilas HaDerech, which is our insurance. People have a RAC insurance, but one of the free insurances, the Tfilas HaDerech. Sometimes, by the way, if your holiday house is in the middle of nowhere, you should be starting to say Tfilas HaDerech already at the end of the road. 70 amas is nothing. So already, if you're planning to travel 2, 3, 4 miles away to the nearest Tesco sometimes, you could be saying Tfilas HaDerech once a day, the first journey. For some people, their houses, after the first road, they could be making Tfilas HaDerech, because as soon as you've left the area of the town, well, if you're not in the town, so then it's from your house or from your few houses at your campus. So you could be making Tfilas HaDerech in some instances very, very soon after you've left, 70 hours after you've left town, sort of. So if you're in a town, then you could be waiting a long time to say it. But if you're not in town, you could be saying it after one road or two roads. Now, it's very interesting. You could be in a town, and you could be going on a boat ride, little boat ride, or you could be going on a jet skiing, yeah, and you're in Bournemouth, you take a jet ski or something, and after a little bit, you plan to go 2, 3 miles out, you could be having to make Tfilas HaDerech. Don't forget, you need to have a couple. When you have Tfilas HaDerech, it's a bit tricky. But it certainly, Tfilas HaDerech plays out all different ways. So it's also very important. The question is...
The good news is that nobody here is going to be on the jet.
A boat ride is sometimes isn't it? You'd be surprised where it kicks in, Tfilas HaDerech. But sometimes people have the shine, they do need to stop. There is this concept of some people stopping on the hard shoulder, saying Tfilas HaDerech. I don't know how recommended it is at all. They say a very high percentage of crashes happen on the hard shoulder. It's come out. Looked at as a complete sakana. So if a person does want to be mekayim the inyan to stop during Tfilas HaDerech, it's ever recommended to turn off, find a local service station or something. But to say on the motorway, to get this inyan to stand up is definitely something which is quite distressing for some people to even hear such a concept. Yeah, the hard shoulders, the enormous amount of accidents that happen on the hard shoulders, you just have to Google it to see what goes on. And certainly it's probably kedai to just slow down a little bit and then you go ahead and say Tfilas HaDerech. In line with what Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Kuf Yud, that if a person, if stopping disturbs your mind, which for a lot of people it does, stopping, starting, so then Shavonar says you can just go ahead and say to yourself as you are riding, as you are actually riding. Some people will try and get someone else to be motivated them because they're driving. That's already a personal thing, how a person feels when it comes to kavana. Just add that, I find it very negia. A person, let's say you're stuck. Obviously, you try and make sure you're back for mincha, you're back for shachris, wherever the time is for shachris, for mincha. Sometimes you find mincha and you realize shkia is running low. You're in the car park, so the family or somewhere else, you're in the car park, you know there's 10 minutes left till shkia. We know that halacha is, Mishabura Paskins, that if the person finds himself, there's only a few minutes before shkia, he davens b'yechidus, better than b'yechidus before shkia. That's Mishabura's opinion. Very nice. Let's leave that sugya alone. And he knows he's in the car park, he's got two options. Either he stands up outside of his car, which is very uncomfortable for him because there's people coming and going, it's a busy car park, and to stand there and daven and not chuckle and to find the right place and to stand there, so he doesn't feel comfortable. Is it better that he stands up and pushes himself and, you know, he knows what it's like when there's people coming in and out. Shmoneh Esrei just feels endless, you know. He gets them. Allah Tzadikim just feels it's like it's like Musaf Shmoneh Esrei. He feels like it's like Musaf Shmoneh Esrei Rosh Hashanah. And Mashayinkin, his other option is to sit comfortably in the car. Obviously, he won't have his back, you know, sitting back. He'll sit, like I mentioned, if Ne'amelech, but he'll be sitting down. This shayla I've been thinking about for a long time. Some people take the approach. They don't care where they are. This is a personality shayla. It's nothing, not right or wrong. They don't care where they are. They will do what they need to do. And so then, matoif, you get the mind of standing up, there's clearly no problem. If a person does find himself that he has the teva of feeling extremely uncomfortable and he won't be able to overcome these feelings, it could well be that to stand up and just get through Shemoneh Esrei like blum, 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 and you know, struggling over finding it so long just to get through Shemoneh Esrei, Ramosha indicates that it's better to yeshiva b'kavona. It's better than Amida with very little kavanah. Again, the price to pay for that is that when you're actually sitting down, it should taka have kavanah. But Ramosha Feinstein is very into that because he discusses the shayla about the airplane. The person's on the airplane. Should he stand up in the back when they say, they always announce, you know, no more than six people, you know, at the back, not realizing that minion always have to have 10. But yeah, at the back, so always people are bahola. Or should you sit down during Shemoneh Esrei? So that Ramosha Taka says, if you have kavana sitting down on the airplane, he writes clearly that it's better to sit down. Although Medina de Gomorrah, sitting down during Shemoneh Esrei is very shver. But there's still kavana, a tefillah of the kavana is also shver. So therefore, it's also kedai to make sure that we're getting that in. It's an interesting shayla, I think. Some people feel it very uncomfortable. It depends what the situation is outside. If people coming and going and they're standing on the side, you know, even if they don't shakel, if they find it uncomfortable, then the chayla, there could be a maila of doing it by yeshiva, because yeshiva become one better. Next nakuda we have is the barbecue shayla. People want to make barbecues. Sometimes you don't find a disposable barbecue. You'll find in Tesco, I think, they don't sell disposables. Maybe because of wildfires, different reasons that they have. Maybe because of the rubbish that get left everywhere, so they want to clamp down on it. And they only sell reusable. So many people have the shayla that they go to the shop, to Tesco, and they're looking for a barbecue. They can't find disposable. They buy a reusable one. No, £10, £15, not a major deal. So they buy it, and they come home, and they make a nice barbecue, not realizing there's a mitzvah of Tefillas Kelim. Tefillas Kelim tells you that if you have a keli, and you want to use it, even as a one-off, you have to tovel it. So the grate is out, you don't have to tovel the colt. You have to tovel the grate of the barbecue, right? So the grate of the barbecue, if it's a reusable one, now the chiyuv tefillah kicks in. The only hetter not to tovel your disposable barbecue was because it's disposable. And the halacha is, a disposable keli is not considered a keli to be mechayev to this keli. We all know the shayla about the tinfoil container that if you only use a couple of times, it's fine. Once you use a silverfoil container many times, four, five, six times, or you use something which is a keli in itself, a proper keli, then it's already a chiyuv tefillah. The fat's got a very nice trim on this. If a person has a silverfoil container and he reuses, then already from four, if you plan to use it four or five times, that becomes a din keli and he has to tovel it even the first time. Now, it's very interesting halacha to know.
Without a brocha.
Oh, very good. Sure. Without a brocha, because in and of itself, it's a big shayla. There's two ways of looking at what defines a keli. The amount of times you use it, even if it's a disposable, or if it's a non-disposable, even if you only use it once. Now both of them should require tefillah without brocha, unless you have both of them together. So therefore, it's interesting when it comes to a reusable barbecue, it's important to know that the grate should require tefillah if you plan to use it many times with a brocha. If you plan to to only use it once, then it should be tabled without bracha. Some people say, can you? There is a etzah to give it to a goy and then borrow it. That's the first shulchan aruch. But if let's say you can't manage to get hold of someone that you can give it to, a goy that you can give it to, can you be mafker it? And straight after you mafker it, use it. That was a shad. It's a very practical etzah. Just say a raise or hefka, and then a second later light up.
You're
not happy with it. Where a person, you know, sometimes you find this concept, you mafker it, you do that at Pesach. You must go, you chomet, and we're okay with that. Say there's a chimdika because you might have some yom, so this could be offered, but that's more we rely on that. Or sometimes when it comes to other yonim, we rely on that you can sell and you can be mafkir. But when you take ownership straight after your mafkirit, that's where the person will say, that's a chukhuz lo lahara. Harira, I'm a mafkirit, and then a set, especially if you leave all the challahs in your freezer during Pesach, no, so you're sure you don't want it. But over here, straight after your mafkirit, you light up the barbecue, that's that katoknish, that's the whole hack about the Hetzer Mechira, which a lot of cashless authorities won't rely on the Hetzer Mechira when it comes to Shmita and Eretz Yisrael, is because the sale is a funny sale. You sell it, and then 5 minutes later, all the tractors are going in and out. So that's something which goes against the all the Hetzer. Hetzer Mechira, when it comes to Mechira's Chomos and Eretz Yisrael, you sell it, and you close up. No, so you can get away with saying you've sold it. But when a person sells it and then you know it's a regular day at work, that's already something which is a bit tricky, and that should be avoided. Next shayla we're coming to, we're going to start Shabbos already. So we've got obviously the big issue with Shabbos is the fridge freezers. And most fridge freezers you open, lights go on. You always have to make sure you're taking with one or two things, and ideally both. Is the magnet, take with a strong magnet, so like that you can take the magnet to deactivate the light from going on and the fan from stopping. The idea, what happens is when you take the magnet, then the machine thinks that when you open the door, it thinks the door's still closed because the door has also got a magnet. So when it's closed, it connects together. When you open it, it detaches. So by putting a magnet, you've cheated the system by thinking that even when the door's open, it thinks that it's still closed. So that is the best way forward. If you can't manage to deal with this magnet, if the magnet's not working, then you take with a timer, so you put the timer in, and every quarter of an hour, one on, one off, one on, one off. At least you know that when it's off, make sure you'll be able to see the light if it's on or it's not on. And when it's off, then you're able to open it without any problem. Because really, to open the fridge freezer when it's when the light's going to go on or it's going to go off, it's like a very shvei api halacha. And therefore, it's very common, very popular. This is, I think, the number one thing that we have to be careful of when it comes to Shabbos, as well as the sensor shaders, which go on. A person nowadays, you can have anywhere. You can have sensor lights that go on everywhere, so that's also very important to make sure you're in touch with the manager before. How can you deactivate it? And if you can't, what's the solution if you can't? It's a bit of a problem. There is a solution, there is an etzah to arrange and create a situation where you don't need the light. So you can buy lamps. Someone told me he's outside and he can't deactivate the floodlight. So he bought a floodlight, his own floodlight, and he kept it on the whole Shabbos. So then there's our shittas who hold that if you show that you really don't care and you don't need the extra light, that's something that's called a secretion to the ichba, so you don't need it, that's already more kuladik, but that's already, it's relying on kulas to make sure to try and deactivate also all the center lights. So if you can't, at least there's a marked difference between making sure that you are in a situation where you don't need that light. If you're in a dark area and you go in and you turn on the light, that's very shvet to rely on now, Shabbos. That's gosh, but you have to make sure that there's other light that you don't need to come to this light that's been turned on. One of the big problems now, when you go to Wales, you go to the countryside, the lakes, you'll find that the houses are not near the water systems. So when a person presses the flushing of the toilet here locally, there's a very local system nearby, and you don't need any pumps. There's no pumps needed. You just the force of a little flush is enough to get it down the system, that's fine. There's no pumps involved when you flush the chain. But when it comes to our area, there is no water system local, and a lot of houses will have a septic tank. A septic tank is that whenever you turn on the toilet flush, or even, you know, a lot of places, the sink, you turn on the tap. So how's the water supposed to get so far? It uses the energy of a power tank. And that is taka, also another big problem. There is a solution that some say, I haven't tested it myself, and I'm very interested about this noisa. I want to get a hold of a septic tank expert on this topic. I want to know, I want to see firsthand how it works. Apparently, if you turn on if you leave the tap of the bath tub on the whole Shabbos a little bit, then the machine is activated, the pump is activated the whole Shabbos. And apparently, if you now use the water of the sink, no extra power is used. Now, I don't know how that works. I don't know whether to believe or not. A friend of mine told me in Eretz Yisrael, he spoke to Rabbi Reuben, Rabbi Mechaba Orchis Shabbos, regarding some hotels have the same shayla. If you have a big hotel, you go to a remote, I don't know, if you go to some of the hotels there in Eretz Yisrael, which are very high, any of the hotels which have got many, many floors, how does the water go all the way up? So they use, some of them use tanks, these pumps. So then, again, you've got these problems, it's not so clear, even if it's working from other places, not so clear if it's adding some extra curve. So that needs to be investigated. I'm very interested about this, right, how it actually works. I need to find out the facts first, but if the facts are that you're increasing the power, that's economic shmachan Shabbos, that needs to be investigated. Next, Shaila, comes to making your Shabbos food hot. So you have your chicken, they have Friday night. You want to make it hot. A lot of people are tempted to take the chicken and the kugels, put it into the oven. Now, you put it into the oven, a Goyish oven. How do you put it in a Goyish oven? So obviously you double wrap it. And then when it comes to a few minutes before Shabbos, you'll take it out and you put it onto a hot plate. Not realizing that it's double wrapped. Right, not realizing that if you have something which is double wrapped and leave it near a source of heat on Shabbos, that is a real issue, downright hatmonic. So you've got the chicken, which is double wrapped, very nice, because you're very machmir to make sure it doesn't have any blisters of treif from the oven. And then you take it out and put it in your hot plate, or you leave it into the oven, let's say you leave the oven on a bit into Shabbos. So when Shabbos comes in, you have food which is double wrapped. So you have to realize that, hang on a second, either you switch off the oven, so it's not in the state of hatmonic, even if it's boiling hot, which is mikol, to consider it's not considered hatmonic, it's an interesting color. Or if it's on the hot plate, to now take off the second cover, you have to make sure that there's no double cover when Shabbos comes in. So I think it's quite easy to slip up on. You have the kugels, you have a kugel which is double wrapped, because you put it in an oven, you take it out, put it on a hot plate, or you leave it in the oven, and the oven only goes off later, it's already, you got a problem of hatmonah. The interesting kula, which we just said from the Mishnah Berurah, is that if the oven's off when Shabbos comes in, it's interesting that it's not called a status of hatmonah, even if it's boiling hot inside, because it's miskare kore, it's constantly getting cooler, the oven, and therefore we don't treat it as a status of hatmonah. So that's a good chumra, but it's a good kula as well, that if the oven's off when Shabbos comes in, it's also okay. So I guess just make sure the oven's off. But if you put it on a hot plate, it's so easy to slip up. You have a kugel, you have a chicken, which is double covered, because it just came out of the oven, and you put it on the hot plate, it's double covered, that's the situation of hatmonah, and that's even with the oven can pass it. And therefore it's important to remember that you're taking off the other cover. Sunglasses on Shabbos, for those who are going abroad, and they might have a bit of sun, then they have a shayla, and maybe if you're lucky here as well, to get a bit of sun. Some people, they want to go for a nice walk after the cholent, and they want to take their sunglasses, which they've been waiting to use for some holidays, they want to take the sunglasses out and enjoy the sunglasses. Walking out in Rosh Hashanah with sunglasses on Shabbos is very shver l'alacha. It's very shver. You have to start this way. The glasses itself is debated in the postgame. How in the world are we allowed to walk out in the street with glasses? It's not a beggar. For you to walk out in the street on Shabbos, something has to be a beggar or a takshet. Something which is a beggar, it's a clothing, or it beautifies you. Now, if you take the approach that glasses beautify itself, or as a malbush, fine. But the postgame, we're not happy to take on like that. And the reason why it's okay is only because you're dependent, your eyesight is dependent on your glasses. That's the whole heta. So it becomes like your goof. Once you have a situation that your glasses you're not dependent on it because it's not prescribed, it's not prescription glasses, it's just sunglasses. Just sunglasses is a problem because it's not a malbush, it's not a tachshit, and therefore you have a gezerah, you might take it off. All the gezerahs that Chazal are full of, Gemara's already, and therefore it's important to know that if you haven't got prescribed sunglasses, it's just regular sunglasses, that is going to be a problem to go under Shas Rabbim on Shabbos.
Clip-ons are different?
Clip-ons would also have the same shayla. Interesting, because a person freely feels, the chashash is that if it becomes overcast, then a person will take it off. This is not our gezerah, it's already the Gemara speaks about these gezerahs. And therefore, if a person can take off his sunglasses or just flick it up, once it's on the flicked up mode, it's not anymore, we don't consider it bottle, and therefore that could already be an issue on Shabbos. I think it's a common thing to slip up on. I've seen it myself in a few places in Eretz Yisrael. I've seen after Shabbos afternoon, I've seen that, and there's no chashash, it's going to be overcast, and it was the middle of the summer. I feel like Chazal made the gezerah. It's interesting that when it comes to sunglasses, The header would be, obviously, if your person's got prescribed sunglasses or the photo things that are changed, that's obviously going to be okay because your eyes are dependent on it. But once your eyes are not dependent on it, either because you can flick it up, you can take it off, that is certainly going to be an issue on Shabbos. Interesting to note. Sun lotion. For again, those who have a bit of sun lotion, can you sun cream? Can you put some sun cream on? If it's cream, obviously it's going to be a problem of Maria. But if you have a lotion, a lot of them you can come sprays, which are pourable. Those sprays, if you haven't got a condition of sunburn, if you haven't got sunburned at all, and you just prevent, you're in the preventable stage, you're just preventing yourself from being burned in the sun, that's interesting that a person has no problem to rub it because there's no memariach, and with refuah, the halacha is that there's only refuah once a person has a condition. But if it's just to prevent a condition, the father's very making on this, he's got sugar to say it's okay, so that's an interesting point to take in.
Wouldn't sunglasses also be a preventative?
So
the UV.
So in and of itself, it's certainly that you're right. Regarding refuah, you'd have that heta. But regarding chitzah, you won't have that heta. If a person's trying to prevent something, you won't be able to now suddenly carry in the street. So it's a very good heta regarding refuah, but it doesn't apply to the other isurim which we referred to before, which is specifically chitzah. That would be an issue. Okay. So now we've got just a very short point regarding Erev Chatzeres. For some people. You know, they're going away on holiday themselves, they've got a very quiet area, they haven't even got the landlord on site. You know, it's a very important, one of the important things when you're checking on booking for your holiday, is to make sure that the owner's not on site, right? It's a big difference, right? So you don't want to have anything to do with anyone. And if there's damages, you want to deal with it afterwards, you don't want to deal with it, you know, on the spot. So very good. If a person has got his own shatach, so can you carry outside in the garden? That just depends if it's all boarded out, if it's all surrounded, if you have surroundings and tent fachim, and everything's tent fachim around, fine. A lot of times you have piritzas, you have big openings. As long as the openings are within 10 amas, which is just under 4 meters, then you're fine. Just by the way, the corners can get tricky, they're very, very easy to slip up on. You can have small openings, but if they're on the corner in a diagonal shape, that's called Keren Zavis, and you can't have a Pesach for Keren Zavis. That's very important to remember. I was once on a holiday, and I was checking, Erev Shabbos, my job was to check around the whole campus, and in the corner, I had to go under some bushes to see the corner, and I saw strings there in the corner. It was quite soothing to see, you know, who would put strings there in the corner, under some bushes, and it took me, I got some prickles there, but you can see, I saw strings over there because the Keren Zavis, even if it's a small Pesach in the corner, you can't have a Pesach. You can't have a Pesach. Someone on Erev Shabbos had the Shaila that he wanted to block up the area. His area, the Pesach, was more than 10 amos. Now, if you're more than 10 amos, you got a problem. So he wanted to use his car. He said, in passing, he was just saying that I use my car. No problem, I'm going to use my car. So I said, what car have you got? He's got a steamer. Now, the steamer, if you measure the bottom of the steamer, the bottom of the car to the floor, is 25 centimeters, just over 3 tvachim. So depending on what your car is, if it's more than 3 tvachim, the Gemara says you can't use that as mechitza. Mechitza tzluya is a kedim, that's you can't use. So he told me he got some planks, he sorted that. I told him there's another solution, you can just get some bins. You can take the bins and use the bins. It's usually quite a practical solution to just put some bins to be mamait in the Pesach of the 10 tvachim. A 10 amos, if you want to be mamait, the 10 amos is better if you have a steamer. You won't be able to use your steamer to minimize the area of the 10 amos because your steamer is higher than 3 tvachim. Interesting cut.
Unless the bins are also the pnuyeh, to move them. If they're going to be collected.
Oh yeah, if they're going to be collected, that's different. Right? Let's assume the chance of being collected on that Shabbos is very, very slim. Considering the amount of times they come to collect, it's like a mosa, dom shein a mosa, they come. So that's regarding interesting to be mamayit the chalal, interesting. Now, you should know, some people take it for granted that if they have another yid on site, that they can just carry out as normal, but not knowing, obviously there's halacha, that if you have another yid on site in the same campus, then you need to have Erev Chatzeres. So obviously you need to gear yourself up for Erev Chatzeres, you know, you get the matzahs out, and you make the brocha, and you keep the matzahs, and you say the nusach. Some it's a very interesting shayla. Someone told me he's on Friday, he's in a hotel, massive hotel. He's like, sounds like there's a few hundred families, and he said, does he have to be choishesh? There's another yid a Yiddish family, maybe not from his circles, Heimlichkeit and everything. Maybe he come from who knows where, to Stroll, who knows where, maybe not so from. Can he carry on Shabbos out in the hotel? If they're all goyim, the halacha is if there's only one Yid and all goyim, then there's halacha, you can just carry on, you can carry on as if nothing happened. Because it's considered a dearest behemoth. Once you have another Yid on site, then it's very, very tricky. You have to start making Erev with him. Then you have to do Schiris Rishus from the goyim. It changes the whole dynamics of everything. So therefore, does he have to be Choshesh before, does he have to be Choshesh that maybe there's another a Jew on site in the hotel? Someone else told me he's also going away to a campus, also about 400, I don't know how they get them in, 400 families can fit into this massive campus, and he's scared, and does he have to be choshesh? Very interesting shayla. Ramosha speaks about a similar shayla, and he says you don't have to be choshesh as a yid, but just imagine on Shabbos, he's carrying something, and he bumps into a person who tells him he's Jewish. Already could be shyness because the other person is making Eiv Chatzeris, and you know, then already you can't carry, that could be a problem. We've gone over time. One final thing is, and we'll leave it there, is that Lo Sachmorit is just something that we learned yesterday, and it's one of the Aseret HaDibros. In people's minds, if a person, just imagine, you know, a person that walks down the street and he sees a beautiful house, beautiful, beautiful house, which extends there all the dormers and everything, and it hurts him, it's his friend, and he's got these cars, amazing car, I don't know what's a nice car, Fiat, what's he's got a beautiful car, absolutely nice car, stunning Tesla car. And you know, he's already checked out on company's house how much it's worth. He's seen the past few years, he's made his business to work out. You see, he's got a friend that everything's working for him, at least in his eyes, everything's working for him. The Maisa, Tutimbe, jealousy is really hurting him. And what would he say to that person? Stay in the Torah, Lo Sachmid. Yeah, he wouldn't have thought it's just a bad mid. He'd say, Lo Sachmid. You should know, it's absolutely not the case. On the flip side, you can have someone going away on holiday. And on holiday, we're not always equipped with what we have when we're at home. At home, we've got everything to the last detail. We've got the coffees, everything, the sugar, what type of sugar. And sometimes you could be on holiday with someone, but the other person's got exactly what you want. He's got the Coke, or if he's got exactly the sweetener that you have. And you tell him, you start whetting his appetite. You know, by the way, yeah, I'm quite, you know, I left mine at home. Is it okay if I take? And they're actually not so keen on giving you a can of Coke because they bought specially for, you know, people think about exactly what they need and they bought especially for themselves, especially what they need, and they're not keen on giving it to you. And then you say, you apply pressure. And he starts saying, you know, I'll pay £5, I'll pay £10. And then half an hour later, you're at them again and say, well, you know, my mouth is still burning after this barbecue. You know, I could really do with a bit of Coke. You really apply pressure, yeah? What would you say? And the mice, he gets his way. He gives the £10 note and he gets his can of Coke. You would have thought he's got at least a bit of achza, but no, not so bad. He's not been over Lis Ahmed. You should know Rabbi Yisrael ben Hapichu. The first case where the person walks past his friends, he's got everything going for him, he thinks, and it's amazing. There's no Lis Ahmed. A mensch is a mensch. It might not be a good middah, it's not a healthy middah, right? Because you don't know what's going on with him and v'chulu. But there's no Lis Ahmed. It's a completely misunderstood halacha. It's a mafruit. One of the Aseret HaDibros, Lis Ahmed doesn't mean that. Lis Ahmed means the Loshon Shulchan Aruch in Chesh Mishpat. You're jealous of what he has. And he pressures him at Shalot Chaymimenu. That's the only way to be over Lo Sachmoid, to apply pressure with someone and get it out of him. That's what the Torah didn't want you to do. So I think it's a very interesting misconception that we have from when we're younger. Lo Sachmoid, you see someone's got something better for you. Isra Lo Sachmoid, one of the, are you trying to say Chazal are going to tell us that we can't have jealousy? It's a natural human thing. A person would have walked past someone, has got everything for him. Shouldn't be jealous. What would we speak about in Shabbos meals? Yeah, this is exactly what people, human nature, right? So obviously it's not a nice middah, but the Isra Lo Sachmoid is very, very relevant when it comes to holidays and you're short of something and you apply pressure on someone, you know, I need it, and you pay him for it. And I say, he's not interested in selling it to you, he doesn't want to give it to you. That is the Isra Lo Sachmoid. Sorry for going over time, enjoy your holidays. Oh, yeah.